7:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Gambling going on in baseball again, specifically Cleveland. We'll talk about that at 7:30, or gambling investigation, I should say.
I got a lot investigation. To say on this.
Harbaugh commented on his past OC. He said he didn't want to use Cadence because of the chance of issues. I don't know who I think he's talking about, but this is what Harbaugh had to say.
You got to keep pushing that. If you're going to, you know, over the years, people that didn't want, and I've had coordinators like that here that didn't really want to do Cadence or didn't really want to take a chance at having the issues, will say, well, we'll get into that later, but we want to get these plays off early. And what happens is you never have Cadence the whole season. You can't just bring it out 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now. It looks the same. It looks bad. It always looks bad early. Look at the Chiefs practice 2 days ago. I saw him talking about that. So you have to do it from the get-go. You have to push through it. You have to practice it, you know, and you got to practice it under the toughest conditions, heat, pads, whatever it is, you know, and try to get really good at it.
Greg Roman.
Yeah.
It's the elementary school-ass offense. We know that. It's Greg. We know. We used to always say it. That's why Lamar got to the line of scrimmage so late, because it was so much talking before you actually got to the line of scrimmage. Now he doesn't have to. Now he gets to the line of scrimmage, he surveys the land, and he makes calls. You didn't do that with Greg Roman, because Greg Roman ran it like his high school football in the 80s, where you had no communication. You called the play in the huddle. That's the play you ran. Let's go.
Yeah.
Greg Roman, come on. We know what he's talking about. Hats off to you, Harbaugh, for not throwing him completely under the bus. But we know you're talking about.
I think you'd have to say that you're looking at that, because he's a guy that he gave you half of the tools to get it done on offense. It was such a generic, juvenile a passing playbook. I mean, you had receivers in the same area, and these guys weren't running wrong routes. Your play design, it looked like you looked up Football for Dummies, and you're going, I got this guy going this way. No correlation.
I don't think Roman thought Lamar was capable of doing it all. I don't think he did.
Well, we've talked about that, too. Remember all the false starts?
Yes.
Or not false starts, excuse me, delay games.
Delay games.
Because of not getting the play in on time or wasting timeouts. Like, one of the things we've been highly critical of Harbaugh is time management. Then all of a sudden, you bring Greg Roman into it with all that BS. Now you're wasting timeouts that may have saved you a play later, or, you know, even a challenge later.
Let's go back to the drive that should have tied the game in Buffalo in the playoffs. I didn't see no time management issues.
Nope.
I didn't see any communication issues. That thing ran like a well-oiled machine right down the field, cold weather, on the road.
I'm not saying we were the first ones on it, because I said this yesterday, I didn't want him to draft Lamar, change my tune after watching him work out in year two and then seeing the results. We've said for years, and you may have been the first one on it, like, he ran Bobby Petrino's offense in college.
The toughest offense in college football.
Don't tell me he can't read a defense. Now you're seeing that he can do it, and once you've taken the reins off, you're like, oh, what if I had done that sooner?
Exactly. Is he a better passer than he was earlier in his career? Yes. That's the maturation of quarterbacks. Lamar's not new to that. That's why you put in work. Quarterbacks mature over time. The good ones do. The great ones go to another level. Yes, the
you
game,
read it better.
The game
it slows
slowed
down.
The perfect, Jeremy. Perfect. I tell the story all the time. I only quarterbacked in high school, but I remember when I first dropped back to pass, it was like a car wreck in front of me. I heard all the noise. I heard everything. The more I dropped back to pass, it looked like it was just me and the route tree. Yeah. I didn't see anybody.
Well,
me and the route tree, man.
It's funny, like, even, not to compare this to flag football, but in flag football, one of the quarterbacks told me, because I was bitching about it, I was like, come on, dude, stop turning the damn ball over. Well, why don't you do it? That's fine. I'll go back there and quarterback. So I went back there. It's incredibly difficult.
It's not easy.
I told them, I ain't going to throw a pick, because every pass is going to be 8 yards or less.
It's not easy, man. But Lamar, what he's done is he's taken it to another level. But I credit Todd Monken for trusting him to take it down. Listen, you can say what you want to do about John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh saw this early. There are a lot of head coaches who would not allow Lamar to be Lamar. And you know it. You have an exceptional athlete. Let me make him Cordell Stewart. Let me do this. Let me make him this super athletic quarterback who has a gimmick offense. And Harbaugh's like, no, man, this guy's special.
I think either way, because there's one of two things that happened here. Either he saw it early or he saw the writing on the wall that Joe Flacco is not going to save my job.
No. I don't think he saw it that early.
Okay.
No. I don't think he saw it that early. I think he saw it maybe that second year when Lamar came back.
I get because what you're saying now.
He never started talking about it. He started telling us about it before that second year, remember? He said, this offense is going to be high octane. He's going to do things that you never saw before. That was Harbaugh then. That wasn't Harbaugh that year one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did say that? It was going to be, this offense was going to revolutionize the
league. Exactly.
And we're like, you just ran the option for 8 games. What are you talking about?
He knew it then. Yeah. He saw it then. And the rest of us like, all right, it might be nice to watch, but I don't get it.
Okay, buddy, you're going to have a really good running game again.
I don't get it. And every year you saw stuff. You say, Harbaugh called this before it happened. He called it before it happened, man. And you got to tip your cap to that, man, because it takes courage as a head coach to be able to let this dude be this dude. But now, it'll take courage now. We know it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it happened, it took courage to let him do it.
Now it's just like, get out of the way and let him show you what he can do.
Exactly. So you say what you want. I got my criticisms of John Harbaugh. You know that.
I got plenty of them too.
However, not every coach in the National Football League would allow 2019 to happen. Not every coach would have done that. John Harbaugh allowed 2019 to happen. And then John Harbaugh realized, you know what? This guy's even better. You ain't got to get Greg Roman out of here.
Yeah.
We got to get somebody in here to allow him to become the best quarterback in the National Football League.
It's like John Harbaugh was Ricky Bobby's dad, and he's like, it's Super Bowl or bust. It's, you know, if you ain't first, you're last. No, you could be second or third. You know, like,
yeah, now that we got to work on, John. Hey, Harbs, we got to work on this whole Super Bowl to bust thing. I have news for you, my friend. Don't win the Super Bowl to see what happens. Bust. Hey, you don't have to believe me. Let's just hope we don't have to have this conversation.
Bust it.
In February. Because if we do, you got some explaining to do.
Yeah.
410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I told you before, back when he was a national and some of you didn't like him, Bryce Harper is my dude, and we're going to tell you why later on in this show. And Jeremy, you said earlier, too, that's your dude.
That's my guy.
I love him. When he said, that's a clown question, bro. Oh, he is cocky. He's arrogant. No, I was in the clubhouse that day. Guess what it was? A clown question. It was a clown question.
He is that dude.
He's that dude.
And when you hear what he just did recently, it just makes me smile because, you know, I don't like that guy.
I know you don't. I know you don't. But on the other side, we're giving out shovels, Jeremy Carr.
Yeah, I got another traffic one. Got to talk about this. There's too many things that happen on the road that just drive you insane. I'll tell you what happened. We'll get to that coming up.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057. The Fan. Shovels next. Time to give out shovels, Jeremy Carr. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057. The Fan. Who gets your shovel this morning, Con?
Yeah, how people drive over speed bumps and even drive into like the over the curb into like a parking lot.
Uh huh.
You know, so for example, my neighborhood has speed bumps. They're larger ones. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to like stop and go to a snail's pace to go over it. Like, I mean, you go over it like 15, 20 miles an hour, whatever it is. Like, it's slower, you go over the damn thing.
Uh-huh.
I had a guy, well, once on Falls Road and then once when I got home yesterday, because I really want to talk about the Falls Road guy because it's not even a damn speed bump. But I had a guy yesterday as I entered my development that you would have thought he wanted me to get outside my car and help push his truck over the speed bump. And I'm not talking about low riders. I'm not talking about cars. I'm talking SUVs and pickup trucks. Your pickup truck could drive over the damn curb as many times as you want. And this cat's like, it's like, are you going to roll backwards over this damn speed bump because you're going over it so slow? And then I had an a-hole out here on Falls Road. He ends up blocking everybody coming down Falls Road because he turns to go into the gas station down here. You know, a Sunoco? You've seen that gas. So if you're driving into the gas station, you don't have to drive over a curb, right?
Right.
There's a little lip there that's about an inch.
Absolutely.
An inch. This cat slowed his car down to a stop and was tapping his gas to go over it. Meanwhile, cars are coming at him. Not only did you cut off everybody else, what are you doing? You're in a damn SUV. You can drive over the little lip there that you're going. There's no gas station that has everything blocked off where you can't get in. It's you're driving over. It's an inch. It drives me insane how people look at the road.
See,
sometimes.
I'm probably faulted for being the opposite because I got the 4Runner. You got to give me an obstacle for me to slow down.
Yeah. And by the way,
there ain't no obstacle.
This isn't me telling you to speed over the speed bumps. I'm saying you're being ridiculous for the situation.
It's called a speed bump. I thought that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Joe LaCroix, do you have a shovel on this Taco Tuesday?
I'm going to give a shovel, and I'm going to kind of give one to myself also because I didn't verify this, but I'll give it to the people trying to get into Pickles Pub with fake IDs. So I had never noticed that they had done this before of all the years that I've been going there for BBT, Baltimore Baseball Tonight. But they have like a machine that will scan IDs to make sure. I've never seen them use that before.
I never saw it either.
Yeah, maybe it's something new they just started doing. But
smart.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of college kids that come there in the summer, too. Yeah, definitely not. And they're younger people coming up. And they hand them their fakes, and he's scanning, and he's like, nah, get out. And I'm like thinking to myself, if you see that they're doing it, why are you going to put yourself in this? Like, can they take them?
They can take them.
That's like, I used to be told that, like, they can get money back if they, like, confiscate your ID, and you get, like, $50 for each one.
Folks, they don't want to lose their liquor license for you.
It's not at all.
They don't want to lose. Do you know how much money they print?
Exactly, man.
They don't want to lose their liquor license for you, bro.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Keep it moving.
One kid was like, "All right, well, what if you just like put X's on my hand? And I can't drink." And the guy's like, "No, man, I'm not.
Yeah,
like you're out of here."
The bartender doesn't have time to look at. Let me see your X. That means I got to check everybody's hand.
Exactly, man.
And then you get your buddy to buy you a drink, and you just go wash it off in the bathroom.
Boy. Yeah, that was another thing. Yeah, exactly. So I'll have to check with the powers that be if that's actually what was going on.
Right. Have you seen when people get their hand stamped and they hurry up and try to put it, like, either put a little bit of water on it or something and press it to their friend's hand so it faintly goes on?
That's a good idea.
Giving everybody bad ideas here? Sorry.
I know. I went to Looney's in Bel Air, and they check everybody's ID. Because I went there one day, I was just hungry. I wanted some wings after the show, at the post-game show. And I walked up, and the guy's heading out of me. I said, "Oh, do I look that old? You don't need to check my ID?" I said, "That dude right there looks older than me." He said, "Dude, I just saw you on TV." I said, "Oh, okay, my fault."
All right.
You forget, Joe. Sometimes my shovel goes to people who don't understand opinions aren't personal attacks. I got asked yesterday, why don't you like Cedric Mullins? I love Cedric Mullins. What are you talking about? Well, you and Jeremy talking about trading him. What does that have to do with me not liking? I also said I personally love Cedric Mullins. It's business. It's not personal.
I love my mom. I don't want her hitting leadoff.
I'm glad you said that. Jeremy, do you think I love my kids?
Yes.
Okay. My daughter, Stephanie, both of my daughters played basketball for me. Brianna played JUCO ball for me before she went to Towson. When I left JUCO, I went down to high school and I coached Stephanie. I once benched Stephanie in a game. In the second quarter, she may have played 2 more minutes the rest of the game. You know why? Because the defense that we had to run against that team, I needed size. And Stephanie was being exploited in that game. Overall, you saw Stephanie play. She could strap you up.
Yeah.
But that was a game that didn't favor her. So I benched her. I didn't say, hey, that's my daughter. I got to play her. No. And Stephanie understood business is business because we're trying to win. More than anybody, we're trying to win. So
I know you did the same thing. I made my son earn his starting spot.
Oh, absolutely.
There was no doubt.
Oh, I had parents getting upset with me her sophomore year because she didn't start.
Yeah.
But my point is, my opinion about trading Cedric Mullins has nothing to do with my personal feelings towards Cedric Mullins. And if your opinion about keeping him is personal, then you're wrong, not me.
Mm-hmm.
I love Cedric. Why do we have to qualify how we personally feel about people when we give sports opinions?
It's a business decision. I just said earlier, like, it's about getting rid of a guy too soon rather than too late so you get something for him. His contract is expiring. You have a guy in the minor leagues that has a high ceiling that they think is going to replace him. And maybe he's a year away. Maybe you just got to bridge the gap next year. But you can't tell me if you put Colton Cowser in center field.
You're fine.
You're okay.
You're
fine. So
when you lose in the miraculous plays that Cedric makes, you know what you pick up on?
In his arm.
You ain't taking first to third every time I hit the ball out there. So it's a balance. People to go first to third more than Cedric makes great plays. And again, this is not a personal attack against said. You know, some guys are saying, man, he's a hell of an athlete. But we talked about Hulk Hogan last week. I said, man, Hulk Hogan was one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Not technically speaking,
he's
but
he's got to be on the Mount Rushmore.
Right, he's on the Mount Rushmore. He's the king of the Mount Rushmore. But I wouldn't want to have a drink with him. Okay? Cedric Mullins, trade him. But I can hang out with him all day.
Yeah, but he drinks Bullet.
Yeah.
So you don't want to hang out with him anymore? No, I'm kidding. I don't know
what Did I tell you my story about the bar in
Cleveland?
Cleveland.
You said it to the group. I don't know if you said it on the air.
So I sat down. Lady said, I looked up at the bar. I said, you got anything else? I said, what else you got? She said, what do you mean? I said, bourbons. What else you got? She said, what's wrong? I said, that's Bullet. What else you got? Yeah.
They spelled it wrong. They should have spelled it S-H-I-O. Sorry. I don't mind Bullet. You don't like it.
No, I don't. I don't mind it. You know, sometimes you when my windows get dirty, I pour it on a rag, clean the windows off. It's good for that. Clean your glasses off. You ever take Bullet, put it on a napkin, and clean your glasses off. Dude, your glasses, you can see tomorrow. They're the equivalent of your ears.
I can hear tomorrow.
You can see it before it happens. Bullet, I don't mind Bullet for those reasons. Mm. I hope Robbie Jr., Robbie first base, not listening. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I'm really not that pretentious, folks.
Yes, he is.
Can't be.
Who is he lying to? He's like, hey, folks, I'm not. Call your ass out over here.
Kim McCusick joins us at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, Classe. Cleveland has no what?
No Class A.
That's right. They're being investigated again for gambling. We'll talk about it up next on The Fan. I like what you did there. 7:30 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. We knew this was going to happen, Jeremy. As soon as you open them up, you're going to have some issues with gambling in professional sports. The NBA has seen it. NFL saw it. Now in baseball, Cleveland Guardians closer Emmanuel Clase on Monday was placed on non-disciplinary paid leave through August 31st as part of Major League Baseball's investigation into sports gambling. The second Guardians pitcher to be caught up in the inquiry. Right-hander Luis Ortiz remains on non-disciplinary paid leave after originally being placed there July 3rd after unusual gambling activity on two pitches he threw for balls, sources told ESPN.
It's more than that. Like, he had 22 pitches. So his first pitch, 22 times coming in the first inning, I think they said like double digits were like uncompetitive, like really uncompetitive. There was one that he bounced 20 feet in front of home plate. There's another one that's so far off the plate, the catcher literally has to stand up just so it doesn't go to the backstop.
Yeah.
And then there's just more like it. You know, an uncompetitive pitch, like if you're going to throw it inside towards some guy's legs, of course he's going to jump out of the way. Right. You get the ball. Oh, I'm just moving him off the plate.
Right.
The problem that people don't realize is, as smart as you think you are, like, hey, who's going to notice it's a first pitch?
It's going to happen.
Who's going to? Everything gets red flag, guys. If all of a sudden a weird bet comes in, and this is what happened with Terry Rozier and Malik Beasley and Jonte Porter. Like, why are there 200 people betting Jonte Porter right under rebounds or something, and you're going, that doesn't make any sense. That gets red flagged. Luis Ortiz starts. Like, they're looking at certain bets that people place and was like, okay, let's go back to the game. Let's do the research.
There are people who do that for a living. Analytics, folks. They do that for a living.
You're not smarter than them. You're making millions. If you want to help out people, give them some money. Don't lose your career over something this dumb.
And this what's getting me is this. Like, people are upset that these two men are on paid leave. Let's back up for a second.
They got to prove it first.
It's an investigation. Baseball is handling this right. Because if it comes out that they did nothing, then what do you do? Go back and give them back pay? These men still got to live, okay? If it comes out that they did do it, trust me, they will never make another dollar in Major League Baseball. Baseball doesn't play with that.
How do you feel about it now that baseball's in bed with gambling? I still feel if baseball was in bed with alcohol or tobacco or something.
They are.
Okay.
The alcohol.
But they're still going to have rules about when you can have it, when you can't have it.
Jeremy, we're in bed with alcohol. Does that mean we can go out and get a DUI?
No.
And if we do, nobody's going to say, well, I knew that was going to happen as soon as they start advertising alcohol. You can't. Don't tell me, what does Ed always say? That's like, you're blaming the fork for obesity.
Mm-hmm.
No, you make decisions. Don't, you know, for those of you, well, I knew it was going to happen as soon as they got into bed with gambling. Okay, yes. I don't think it happened then. I think it happened a long time ago. The difference is now that we're tracking this and the analytics to this and we're looking at it because we do have a relationship with them, we're finding out. You think players just start gambling?
No. No.
They've been doing this, man.
Did you see the reported, like, was that fake, the text that Class A to Shohei Ohtani? Did you hear about that? I don't know if that was fake or not because you don't know what to trust on social media anymore and there's so many people trying to act like they're other people on social media. I saw some guy with a dumbass trade and it said passing, but it wasn't Jeff, mm-hmm. and it was a fake account, you know? So I do think the gambling stuff's been going on for a while. I think Shohei Ohtani was gambling, and I think he had a fall guy. He's going to take care of that fall guy's family. I don't think Major League Baseball wanted him to
neither
get
neither did
trouble.
Rob Long.
Yeah.
they didn't want baseball to find out. I would have been the fall guy for him.
Yeah.
That's what it took.
It's like when you found out Soylent Green was made of people. But this is just funny to me, like how people think that they're so much smarter than everybody else, they're going to get away with it. There's a video of Malik Beasley with 6 seconds left to go in a game that has no chance of taking the ball from the inbound guy coast to coast for a dunk. And everybody's looking at him like, what the hell is this cat doing? And then all of a sudden you go, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you ruined your career.
You know, the players, if you noticed, if you looked at that film, the players did look at him. Players knew what was going on. And I'm not saying nobody else was in on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But as soon as that happened, players were like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, he had the one with Giannis, that incident, whatever it was, where somebody was talking to him from the other team, and they were looking at him like, what the hell are you doing that for? Like, why on earth would you do something like that? Mm-hmm. And I get it. Like, some of these guys feel like it's not a big deal. I'll just go out and I'll throw a ball. Just bet that I don't throw a strike on the first pitch. But then they tell, if you just had two people doing it, unless they were doing it over and over and over and you kept seeing, like the books are going to flag it. Like this guy keeps betting a ball in the first inning and or in the last inning.
Which is the oddest bet. That's not, I mean, come on. That's
an exotic. That's an exotic
yes.
bet.
I mean, come on, dude.
It's so weird. And like you pick the stuff that you can control. In basketball, there's certain things you can't control. If you got the ball in your hand, you can control a lot of things. I got news for you. I've watched some games where I'm like, hell, did you see that pitch last night that went right down the freaking middle and the guy's like, ball? And everybody turns around and looks at him. Or how about Gunnar Henderson's check swing and the third base ump is ringing him up and he's looking at him like, are you kidding me? I didn't even cross the plate. Yep. Like it wasn't even close. And I'm
basically what he's saying is don't just check the players.
No, check. You got to
check
everybody.
Don't just check the players. Because that ball last night, dude, split the plate. That was the equivalent of a Justin Tucker 40-yard field goal when he was good.
I don't think that guy was cheating. I think that guy wasn't paying attention personally.
We got the call right here, Joe.
Wait a minute.
What is going on at home plate? Brian Walsh, man.
That's literally right down the middle.
I mean, you couldn't set it on a tee in the heart of the plate any better than that. Look at his pitch right here. How do you miss that?
Well, you see the game the other night where Ben's the best.
Ben just Ben gives zero.
Yeah. Ben can't believe you missed that call in July.
Well, the problem is he'd been bad all night.
Ben?
No.
Ben was really
the
good.
Umpire. He'd been bad all night.
Yeah.
And I think that was the one because he called Joe. Was that before he called the one 6 inches off the plate inside to the right-handed hitter a strike?
So the pitch before the one I just played, he called that one a ball when he turned to show bunt, and it was right in the middle of the plate, and he called that a ball,
but
too.
But it was one like 6 inches inside to a right-handed hitter he called a strike.
There
were
two more that's under the plate that the catcher stole by just lifting his damn glove, which I hate.
It at least wasn't that batter that you were – the one you're referring to, Rob. It wasn't that batter. It must have been a different one.
Who was the batter the other night? We talked about it on the radio, I believe. There was a batter that got thrown out of the game, and his manager got thrown out of the game. They didn't throw him a single strike. Every pitch was at least 3 to 4 inches off the plate, and he called all of them a strike. And the guy's literally sitting there going, how am I supposed to swing at that? It's not even close. Like, it's one thing to be, like, kind of close. It's right off, and you're like, okay, I can see. Look, it's fast. When you see one that far off the plate, I don't care how far the damn catcher jerks his glove, you can see it's off the plate.
All right, now let me throw this out at you, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
If my salary stayed the same, you can't get rid of me, but my job reduces. Isn't that good for me?
Yeah.
Do you think perhaps maybe these umpires who have been so bad with balls and strikes this year are trying to get the automated system?
I don't know.
Because they're still, think about it, still going to make my money. Now, that's one aspect of my job now I don't have to do. I don't have to call balls and strikes. Or is that so glamorous of the part, that the glamorous part of position that they don't want to let go of? Because I've never seen umpires this bad with balls and strikes as I see this year.
I mean, it's been awful. Like, there is, I've said this every year, if you want to go
the
on
umpire
Twitter,
collusion going on.
There's a thing called umpire auditor. So it'll tell you how many calls they missed in the game. Like, there are guys that are getting 87% of the calls right. Mm. You missed 13% of calls in a game? Like, how? That's awful. I don't. No, don't give me you got a B+, you jackass. You didn't get a B+. You missed 13% of the calls.
You can't miss 13%, man.
There's some god awful.
You can't miss over 5%. Let's be honest, Jeremy. If you miss over 5%, you're impacting the game negatively.
I think they need to find out how egregious some of it is too. Like, and again, like maybe the umpires realize Angel Hernandez has been the worst umpire for years, and he was
gone. Isn't he?
But he was still calling games even as bad as he was getting playoff games because they're not getting rid of him. Like, I don't know why these guys don't get graded. And I understand, too. Like, the weird thing is, once you get really good at being an official, usually you're older at this point, right? Yep. You've got a lot of experience. So now we got the oldest guys following around the best athletes in the world and expecting them to make calls in fractions of seconds.
Yeah. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ken McCusick joins us at 8 o'clock. But with all the trades that we are speculating with the Baltimore Orioles, did you ever think about what that clubhouse will look like if all of these veterans leave? I'm going to give you what I think it'll look like as I go inside the clubhouse for Clubhouse Connections up next on the Fan. 7:47 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Remember back in 2022 when this Orioles team was teetering at 500 mark and just under 500 for a while, and it went on this long winning streak. And after the trade deadline, this team got some new energy. They got some new energy.
Some BDE?
Yeah, they did. They did. And I think it was the youthfulness that was in this clubhouse, Jeremy. I do. I would not be surprised. I'm not going to sit here and say this ball club is going to be better off after the trade deadline, but I think it'll get that youthfulness that it needs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think because right now it's, and I'm not saying the clubhouse atmosphere and the personality is stagnant. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I think at some point you could go through the motions. You understand what I'm saying? You have some guys come up from the minors that are really hungry. Look at that play that Gunnar Henderson made on Sunday. Imagine you have two or three of those guys in your lineup that is out there busting their ass because it's still new to them, it's still fresh to them. I'm looking forward, and maybe I'm pushing so many trades because I'm looking forward to that time when we can get that youthfulness and that zeal in the clubhouse. I don't think we have it right now, that zeal, that fire. You got good players, but you don't have enough fire, in my opinion.
Yeah, who was it that I saw, like, oh, Gunnar was fired up with Tyler O'Neill after his home run on Sunday, right? Like, there, you see, like, we're sitting back here going, man, Tyler O'Neill hasn't been available. But, like, the guys in the major league level, when you're contributing, you see kind of that camaraderie pickup. And the one thing we've always wondered is who's the leader on the team?
Right.
And, you know, there's been debates over that. We've talked about this before where everybody talked about Trey Mancini being the leader in the clubhouse, where people saying Adley was the leader. And it's like, unless you're in the clubhouse, can you really tell us who's behind the scenes?
Right.
Because sometimes it's not the guy you think.
Yeah.
And I could only imagine that if I were to look at the team here from the outset,
right,
I'd look at Charlie Morton, I'd look at Ryan O'Hearn, and I might even look at a Ramon Laureano because he's been in the league for a while.
Okay, stop.
Okay.
Number one, I'm not correcting you. You're right. What's the status of those three players?
They're all on the trade deck.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You see, like, the problem with that?
So then now you're asking somebody to step up. Now, it could be something where those guys go, well, hey, we ain't got anything to worry about now. We're up here playing. Let's just go have fun. And we see that for the last 2 months because we've seen teams trade away pieces, and then somehow, some way, look better after getting rid of their best players.
Right.
Or the players they needed to get rid of.
Everybody thought Trey Mancini was the leader in the clubhouse back in 2022. I said he wasn't. Trey Mancini goes, these players that were kind of held back took fire. And again, I'm not saying he was the problem, but when you have guys that you rely on and don't know what their address is going to be in August, mm-hmm. and you're asking them to be the leader. Okay, tell me you don't like what you see in Kobe Mayo right now. I love what I'm seeing in Kobe Mayo.
Can
right
I give
now.
You the numbers right now? Yeah. I just retweeted JCM, that serial killer that covers the team. Jacob Calvin Meyer said, Kobe Mayo has only started 3 of the Orioles' first 15 games in July. He's since started 5 of the past 7 games and gone 5-for-11 with 2 doubles, 2 home runs, 4 walks, and 0 strikeouts. He's helped put some points on the board.
You stop.
What? I like it. I've already told you this. I don't have an issue with it. I'm making fun of the fans. Let's put points on the board.
Put some points on the board. Now, imagine Laureano no longer around. And I love Laureano. But Laureano doesn't know what his future is going to be. So imagine you place him with Dylan Beavers, a guy who's trying and pressing. Tell me you don't want to see that, Jeremy.
Look, this sucks where they're at.
Sam Basayo. Tell me you don't want to see that. Sam Basayo is now your DH replacing Ryan O'Hearn. You're replacing guys who are playing for the next contract, don't know where they're going to be, with guys who are like, now I gotta play for my future. Not my future for another team. This is my future.
I've already set this up where you can have Beetlejuice night or Harry Belafonte night where Basayo, Basayo.
What's the Beetlejuice?
Beetlejuice, that's what the song's that song gained more popularity from that movie because it was... Daylight, come and me wanna, you know, that bit. But and then we have Beaver Milk Night, where you can bring actual beavers to the yard.
They had the cow in there yesterday, man.
And we can milk them.
They had the cow in the. You didn't see that?
I did. I saw cows are with them. You didn't see the cow?
No,
you
weren't. Cow.
You weren't. Working
I sent you the picture, but there was a cow in left field. Like they were shooting video of a. There was a literal cow in left field
before the game.
Yeah, it was in the stands where they're going to have the cows reception this weekend.
Okay. So they removed the cow during the game.
Yes, there was no all cow right. during the I, game, but pregame, right. Andy Koska.
I know a lot of this stuff is corny, but I do think there's more people that dig getting involved. You can't tell me that group that wants to dress up like a cow and go out there and moo every time cows are coming.
Oh, on the ninth? On cows tonight?
Yeah.
I'm dressing up as a cow.
Are you?
I'm going to do the game in-game broadcast in the cow suit.
No way.
With the teats and everything?
Why do you say no way, Joe?
That just doesn't seem like something. Like I feel like they'd be like, Rob, will you do this? You'd be like, I'm not doing
it. It was my suggestion.
You know what's going to happen?
I will show you the text. It's my suggestion.
I just thought maybe you'd be like, I'm not doing it.
No. You know what, Joe? If they had asked me to do it, I probably would have said no. Okay. But since it was my idea, I said yeah.
You know what's going
to
happen? Is Rob's going to say he's in a cow suit, and then he's going to wear a leather suit. It was made out of a cow. I hope it's hot as hell and that thing shrinks.
No sway. But no, I think with this not only the team itself, but even the fans, tell me fans aren't going to be more energized when they see these guys, man. I just think it's time now. It is time to turn the page. It is time to turn the page. If you really truly believe in this talent that you have, let's turn the page and let these guys play, man. I think that's what this team is missing. I think you'll hear less bitching from the fan base. You lose 4 out of 5, but you've got all these other guys in the lineup now. And these are competitive games. It feels much different than it does when you have a bunch of guys you don't know getting traded.
What happens? I mean, we haven't talked about Dylan Beavers hardly ever because of the talent that you've had at the major league level.
Yes.
And it's unfair to him. The guys like Judd Fabian. I mean, there's guys in the minor leagues that are going to have, like, when you're in it and you're trading for pieces and you want to make your team better, you have those pieces in your farm system. The interesting thing about Beavers is what happens if he comes up in mid-August, September, and just kills it. It leads you to go, well, maybe we don't need to look for another outfielder in the offseason.
And stop telling me Adley Rutschman is the future leader of this team. Let Adley Rutschman be the leader of this team. Let these other guys walk.
Yeah.
Let Adley Rutschman take... He comes in the lineup last night, 3 hits.
Loved it.
Different energy. You know, let Adley be Adley. Stop having Adley behind these other guys. And I love those other guys. I do. This is not a personal attack. But you drafted these guys to be a certain thing in your organization. So see who they are. So you figure out how much you got to pay these dudes. You want to pay them. Are they worth paying?
But the other thing I want to say is don't fall in love with everybody because there are ways to improve your team.
Oh, yeah.
Like, again, we talked about it, whether people wanted to realize it or not. First base and one of the outfield spots was a way that you could have improved your team through free agency.
Right.
They brought in Tyler O'Neill. You're kind of seeing now what Mike Elias hoped you'd see. I don't know if this is visions of grandeur. He's not like, this isn't what he does all season, but he's a very streaky player. Mm-hmm. And I think he fills up a lot of his stats in short period of times in bursts. And, you know, like, falling in love with your own guys and sitting here saying, remember the years like, oh my God, I can't believe we're getting rid of this guy. Or everybody's love for Mateo. Why? We're going to get rid of Mateo? Yeah, because you can improve there.
Yeah. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We get stupid with Jeremy Kahn at 830. But on the other side, Kim McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com joins us on the Fan.